Blog Talk Radio.
Can you believe it?
Last night, me and my wife were up to midnight with my 3-year-old. Had to take her to church to move my house. She had broken bones. And she, you know, you take help for granted until it's no help. Just like we take food for granted until we run out of food. Just like we take our jobs for granted until we walk about the casket. All we can do is wish if we can do things different. Just like children take their parents for granted. And I want to let you know, even when we take God for granted, what's so amazing about God, Paul said he does not treat us as our sins deserve. So that means that even in my imperfection, God is still perfect with his grace. That's why I don't want people getting comfortable praising the Lord just when the Lord gives them. See, you got to learn how to praise him for who he is. Praise him for who he is. You don't have to wait till the trouble comes to learn how to praise him. Every blood washed believer. That's all of him. See, talking about you having a pastor to them. I'm talking about you loving, you loving, you loving. Because of what he's done, because of who he is. Everybody, we're going to sing this song together. Even if you can't sing, even if you don't have a word, if it's you, God at all. That all can mean to you whatever that all means to you. Can we sing it right now? Can we sing it?
I'm a child of God. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify you. We honor you this morning, O God, as always, O God, as our Lord and our Savior and our soon coming King. We thank you for salvation, O God. But without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption to sin. God, we just thank you this morning that you have blessed us with a new day, a day that we have never seen before. Surely we will never, ever see this day again. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace. Lord, we come this morning with a heart of repentance, knowing that only you has the power and the know-how to set us free, to keep us free, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only you has the power to do that. So, Father, we lay down at the foot of the altar this morning. We lay down at the foot of the altar and we seek your face as never before. Lord Jesus, we ask you to have mercy. Have mercy on us. Allow us to see and allow us to hear your word, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Israel today, Jerusalem. We pray for Hamas. We pray for the Palestine people. We pray for Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan and Pakistan, Libya, Egypt, Syria. Lord, we pray, oh God, for all of those Middle East countries that are in battle, fighting to kill each other. We pray today that you would bring lasting peace, oh God, and still allow destruction to take place. We praise you today, oh God. Holy Father, we welcome your spirit this morning to enter our midst and have your way. Lord Jesus, if your spirit don't come, we can't do anything. But it's by the spirit that we do what we do when you allow us to do it. So today, without further ado, Lord Jesus, we ask you to anoint this word. Let this word be sharp, be quick. And Father, we ask, Almighty God, that you touch my lips and touch my eyes and my ears of clay, that I might see and hear and speak that which saith the Lord. And Father, if I speak something out of my flesh, Lord, we know that you did not give to me by your spirit. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. We ask, Father God, that you allow me only to speak what the spirit of the sovereign Lord say to us today. Only to do what the sovereign Lord says to do today. Father, we hold nothing in our hearts against anyone. Even when we get upset, oh God, we come and we ask your forgiveness for our frailty and our statues. We ask you, God, to move this morning as we speak on cleansing the house. He keep you keeping the house clean. Keeping the house clean. And we're talking about the spiritual house, not the house that you bought from the government or from the bank or from some other entity. We're talking about your spiritual house. Keeping the house clean. And the only way that we can keep the house clean is by following the instructions, as we speak about instructions daily every day. Following the instructions, or we mention the word instructions every day. Instructions of the Most High God. We call this basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what we call the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. But if we don't use the instructions, if we don't activate the instructions in our life, we are just like a sounding cymbal in the tinkling brass. We are just making noise because we are not really activated activating the instructions, like having a GPS in your car. You don't know where you're going, but you wouldn't put the information in the GPS. So you end up being lost because you're not activating the equipment to direct you where you want to go. And this is what the Bible does for us. It directs us to live holy, to live a life that is glorifying the Lord, live a life that he's well pleased. You know, I thought about Noah, and when Noah was building that ark, and he was building that ark, it took him almost 100 years to build that ark. And he had to gather all the animals, all the food, water, everything that he needed to be on that ark. The people were mocking Noah and his family and his daughter-in-law. They were just mocking them, mocking Noah and his sons, his wife and his daughter-in-law. And they were saying, this man's got to be crazy. He's about 3 miles away from any kind of water. And he's building this boat all the way up here. He don't have a tractor trailer. He don't have a truck or anything to put this truck, to tow this boat to the water. He's got to be crazy. And they have never seen rain. No rain has ever fallen on the earth before. You had dew that came about the earth to moist the earth, but no rain came down from heaven. And this man is building this boat with expectation. He never deviated from instructions God had given him to build this boat. We sometimes we deviate because things don't look right. Things are not sounding right. Things are not going right for us. And we leave the process. You see, you cannot get where you need to be until you go through the process. You got to go through the process. You got to go through the process. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we thanking God and praising God. We are about to go into this word and release this word that the Lord, our God, has given us. This is the word of God. Let us go to John chapter 2. The book of John, St. John chapter 2. And John speaks to us about cleansing the house. God speaks to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Here John speaks in John chapter 2, verse 13. He says, well, let's start at verses 12. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. So Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers, coins, over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. In the King James Version, let's look at it. He called it a den of thieves. King James Version, John chapter 2 and verses 16. This is what he says, John chapter 2. I'm reading out the NLT, so let's go to the King James Version. He says, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. So we see here that there are in a net of virgin, he said, that made it at Den of Thieves. Glory to God. Jesus, we thank you. But here, no, then his disciples remembered his prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. Jesus had a passion for the house. He was consumed by the passion of his Father's house. Now we know that the house is not now, is not the physical structure out there, but we are the house of God. The people are the house. This is where he dwells. He dwells in our hearts. So we have to keep this, make sure that we allow him to clean this house, because he's the one that cleaned the house. You know, we get to the place where cleaning is taking place. Hallelujah. We go to the church building. We fellowship. We sing praises to the Most High God. And while we are singing praises and studying the word, a cleansing takes place in us. He said, but the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to move it, to prove it. Now they begin, these are priests and Levites and all of these people that belongs to the synagogue. They're saying that to Jesus, who give you authority to come and turn these tables over? Who give you authority to come and beat the people and send the people out of the house? Jesus says, all right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up. What they exclaim, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Jesus went in and cleaned the physical temple, the synagogue, the church building. He cleansed it. We today have so much stuff going on in the church building. This is why we're not seeing the powers, the miracles of Jesus Christ. People are going in one way and coming up the same way. And that should not be. People should be changed. And then when people change, they change other people. Because changed people change people. But we find that nothing is happening. People are stuck on stupid. And God is saying, it shouldn't be this way. I've given you power and authority to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. To pick up serpents and they should not harm you. I've given you power. Hallelujah. So here he says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about any human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. We know Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, speaketh the mouth. So he knew whatever was what was in the man's heart, the woman's heart. The Bible said that in John chapter 3, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish ruler, leader, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Nicodemus was here, a man of valor, a well-respected man in the synagogue. He was a priest, a rabbi. But he didn't want to come to Jesus and let the crowd see him, because they were saying that well, you believe in that man, that prophet, that whoever they want to call him, and you're talking to him. You're making us, out of rabbis, look bad. So he went to Jesus in the nighttime and began to want to get information from Jesus. He wanted to, excuse me, know all about Jesus. The Bible says Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is very powerful that Jesus is saying this to this rabbi. You would expect that the rabbi understood what Jesus was saying. But Jesus speaks very anointed, powerful words, and words that most people didn't understand, because most of the people in Jesus' time didn't walk in the spirit. They walk in the flesh. Even the rabbis, the ones who were teaching the Pentateuch, the law of Moses, they were walking in the flesh. And they believed that once they knew the word, once they speak the word, that they were okay. They weren't living the word. They were speaking the word. They know the five books of Moses. But they weren't living any of the books. They would try to make the people live the books. They would press on the people how to live and what not to, what to do and what not to do. But they themselves wasn't doing it, just like some of the preachers today. They tell you don't steal, they steal. They tell you don't cuss, they cuss. They tell you don't get high, they get high. They tell you don't fornicate, they fornicate. They tell you don't commit adultery, they commit adultery. You see, they tell you don't murder, they murder. All of these things. You know, we hear the saying, what goes around comes around. You know? It's like playing Russian roulette. The same thing that happened 2,000 years ago is happening, still happening. People are killing one another. All this stuff is going on. Raping one another. Man just went into a severed bull in Alicia, not in here, in a different state, and murdered 18 people. He don't even know any of those people. And then he, 13 other people, 31 people in all. And he's still out there with this machine gun. Caucasian man. We don't know why he's killing the people. But this is the time that we're in. This is the time that we're in. That Satan is raging war against the people of God. And you know that all people belongs to God, not just the ones that are in the church building. All belongs to him because he said so. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So here, he's speaking to Jesus. And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. But here, let's go back up. Jesus replied and tell him that after Jesus, he asked Jesus about the miraculous signs and all that stuff. Jesus told him to Nicodemus, unless you be born again, you cannot enter see the kingdom of God. And what do you mean, Nicodemus exclaimed. How can an old man, talking, say, how can I, an old man, enter my mother's womb and be born again? That's what he was actually saying to Jesus. And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water. What did Acts 2:30 say? Peter said to the people, let every one of you repent and be baptized, that's water, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit. You see, you're born again of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. See, when the Holy Spirit takes over your body, over your, he gives you new life. You no longer want to live the life that you were living. It's a battle that goes on inside of each of us. We pray, we sing, we dance, but yet still the battle is going on. You say, but Apostle, I preach, I've prayed, I've sang, I've danced, and still these things are happening. No, because there's a battle going on. It's going on in your flesh, in our flesh. The battle's against flesh and the spirit. that the spirit wants to do one thing. Jesus told the disciples to sleep. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, they want to stay awake while he go and pray, but the flesh keep going off to sleep, going off to sleep. And he said, couldn't you just watch for me 1 hour while I go and pray? 3 times, the third time he said to them, sleep on. He had already prayed, talked to the Father. Just sleep on now. Because even though you want to stay up at night and you want to stay up and study your Bible, the moment you say in yourself, you know what, tonight I'm going to read a couple of chapters. I'm going to study my word and I'm going to pray. The moment you say, I'm going to study the word and I'm going to pray, I'm going to spend time with the Lord tonight, your eyes become heavy. Because the enemy does not want us to study the word of God. He knows if we study the word of God, we'll have access to the kingdom. Because the word of God will convict us to live the life that pleases him. So what he does, Satan does, is that he hinders us from studying. Can't do, say, well, don't go to church. The preacher is this, the preacher is that. And we start telling ourselves, well, the preacher's bad, or she's a bad woman, she sleeps wrong on her husband, he's a bad man, he sleeps wrong on his wife and still preach the gospel. We find ourselves seeing after the preacher steals the money from the church building. That's why he's driving a nice car. That's why he lives in a nice house. Not knowing the preacher may be working 2 jobs. While teaching and preaching the gospel, the preacher is doing a lot of work on the side so he can pay his bills. He's doing all these things. Understand? So, but we will find ourselves saying, some preachers do steal. You know, but a lot of preachers work. Looking at something on a page the other day, looking at a ministry in somewhere down south, a small church, and the preacher was preaching. Oh, he's preaching up a storm, and his wife says, he said, you know, my husband's a faithful man to the Lord. He said he works 2 jobs. He works 2 jobs, and then if somebody called him here, he'll go and help them in their church, you know. He says he pastors, and still he'll go out in the evening to help people. Somebody called him to come and preach the evening service. He'll still go, but he works 2 jobs. And he said, look, he's the older man, but he works 2 jobs. And he didn't look like the older man that she said, but he said he was an older man. You could tell God was taking care of him. But he may be driving a nice car, living in a nice house, and people saying, but you know, he make all that money in the church. He's not making no money. He's working 2 jobs. Jesus said to Nicodemus, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. See, you must be born again in the Spirit. See, when you're truly born again in the Spirit, you begin to seek after spiritual things. But if the flesh is still in control, you are going to go after the things of the world. We are going to go after the things of the world. We're going to still want to drink. We're going to still want to drug. We're going to still want to do all the things, have sex outside of marriage, have fornication. We're going to still want to lie. We're going to still want to gamble. We're going to still want to do all the things that we used to do before we said we were saved. Because why? We have not been born again. We have not been born again in the Spirit. With the Spirit. So he tells Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so can you explain how people are born of the Spirit? He said, look, so you can't explain. You can't tell where the wind comes. You hear the wind. But you can't tell where it's coming from. You say it's coming from the north, coming from the south. But you're not sure. And then it goes somewhere. You don't know what direction it's blowing. He said the same way you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. You see, God does the rebirthing on the inside. Hallelujah. What did David say in Psalm 51? In Psalm 51, verse 7 and verse 10. Listen to what he says. David was a king. He was a man of God. He committed adultery. He murdered. He did all these things. He did all those things. But yes, still God favored him. God said that David was a man after his own heart. Why did God say that? Because David repented. Not giving anybody out there in computer land a license to continue sinning, because you got an advocate. You have an advocate that would plead your case. He said in 51, verse 7, he says, Psalm 51, verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He goes to God. Hyssop is a bitter bush. And a lot of times in the country, we would take this bush and we boil it on the stove. You know, add some water and boil it. You didn't put no honey to it. Sometimes some people would add honey because it would be so bitter to cut the taste. But it didn't matter what you had going on inside of your body. Once you drink this drink made from hyssop, it would purge you. You have to run to the bathroom. All the infirmity inside your body, cold and all that stuff that's in your intestine, will be flushed out. So David said, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Then verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, God is the only one that can clean your heart. He's the only one that can give us the right spirit. How do you think somebody going to get up in the morning, eat breakfast, put on their clothes, take up a gun, and go in the street and start killing people that they don't know? Because their heart has not been renewed. They don't have a clean heart. They don't have the right spirit. Matter of fact, the spirit that they have is satanic spirit. The spirit that's controlling them now is satanic, that caused them to go into a boiling alley where people, boys and girls, mothers and fathers out there with their children and having a good time, you know, having a good time. But we're going to go down to the boiling alley this evening, and we're going to just relax. We're going to drink some lemonade and stuff. And we're going to drink some, you know, fruit juice and stuff, and we're going to just bowl and see who can come out the winners. And all of a sudden, the gunman come in there and start killing people. Because he has a different spirit. His heart is not right. You see what I'm saying? Jesus has to clean the house. And he's keeping the house clean. When you study the word of God, when you spend time with him, what he does is he's constantly cleaning us. But we have to get into the word every day. My pastor told me, he said, don't go home and get in the word. You got to go home and get the word in you. Because he said, son, what are you going to do this evening? Are you leaving church? What you going to do? I said, Dad, I'm going home and get in the word. He said, no, don't go in and get in the word. Go home and get the word in you. It took me a little while to get it, but once I got it, it just jump-started my heart. Because we can get into the word, mean that we open the Bible and read it, or study it. But it is not until we get the word in us. It's not till we get the word in us, putting the word in. It's different, you know. You start have to change your language. The Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, but they that love it should eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18 and 21. We have to start speaking the words that God is saying. I'm not sick. I'm healed. I'm not a fornicator. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. I'm not an adulterer. I'm a child of God. I do the things that pleases God. God, I don't steal anymore. God has washed my hand, cleansed my hand. I don't gamble anymore. God has washed my hand, He cleansed my hand. Hallelujah, glory to God. You have to start speaking things in the atmosphere. Because once you speak a word, the enemy is right there waiting to snatch that word. And if it's a word that comes from him, hey, he got something to work with. You open your mouth, you start cussing your husband out, cussing your children out. And you say stuff to your children like you're never going to be nothing, especially if you're not with your wife or with your husband. You're just like your father. You're just like your mother. And guess what happens? They take on that negative spirit that you're speaking over them. The house needs to be clean. See? The house needs to be clean, and it needs to be kept clean. How do you keep the house clean? By using the broom of God. What is the broom of God? I'm glad you say that. The Holy Spirit, just give me that. The broom of God is the word of God. One of my bishop who ordained me, and I was a youth pastor in this church back in, he died many years ago in Prince George's County, Maryland. He preached a message about sweep. You got to sweep the house. You see, you got to sweep the house clean. Get all of that stuff that's lodging around the corners and the cracks and crevices. You got to sweep it out. Sweep it out from where? In your heart. You know, as soon as somebody do or something, say, boy, you better stop doing that to me. You don't really want me to go back and show you who I really am, see, because you're not saved. You're not delivered. We said we're going to show them who we are. No, we ought to show them who God make us to be. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we want to go and put up that old woman, and then we start cussing them out, calling them names and saying stuff that's not in the book. You know, no weapons formed against me should prosper. Every tongue that arises against me in judgment that condemn. That's what we got to speak. We got to speak that because we are different. We speak what God says we are. No weapons formed against me should prosper. I don't care how they're coming. They can't prosper because why? I'm walking in who Christ says I am. Here in the book of John chapter 3, I'm trying to give you this stuff, trying to get this stuff down here for you guys today. Listen to what he said. Look. Jesus began to tell, he said, how are these things possible, Nicodemus asked. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Jesus, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. How can it happen? Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish leader, and yet you don't understand these things. And see, Jesus is speaking spiritual language. Yeah, hallelujah. He's up speaking market language, grocery store language. He is speaking spiritual language. And if you have spiritual connection, you ought to know what he's saying. You ought to know what I'm saying, Nicodemus. He said, I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. See, people, when you begin to share your testimony, the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, Revelation 12:11. When you begin to share your testimony, some people are going to believe. Some are not going to believe. Why? Because some people are looking at your lifestyle, at our lifestyle, and we say that we are born again. We say we are born again, that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We tell them that we speak in tongues, in a heavenly language. And all that is good, and maybe we speak in a heavenly language. But our lifestyle, the way we carry on and the way we talk, people don't believe that we are saved because we don't have any spiritual evidence that we are saved. They say the Bible says you will know the tree by its fruits. If I says that I'm an apple tree, but I have oranges on me, something is wrong with that picture. In other words, if I says that I am a Christian, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm acting erratic, you know, I want to cuss out people and I want to act, I want to fight and I want to do it. People are going to get to the, they're not going to believe that I am who I said I am because the fruit that I'm bearing does not bear witness for me. It does not bear witness that I am who I said I am. Hallelujah. If I said that Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, but I'm acting like a devil, nobody going to believe that I'm saved. Nobody gonna believe that Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. So the tree must conform to the Maker. Jesus is the Maker of the tree. The tree must conform to the Maker. So here, let's go back into this word. Hallelujah. But if you don't believe me, verse 12, when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe
if I tell you about heavenly things? See, I try to explain some things to you in the natural, but you don't believe. So when I tell you about heavenly things, you're definitely not going to believe, because you wouldn't understand. They're deep. So he says, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus began to speak to him about salvation. To this great man that is part of the synagogue. Where men go, men and women go to worship Jehovah God. He's well known. His name is highlighted in the Bible, Nicodemus, as one of the rabbis, one of the priests in the early synagogue, the house of God. But he don't have this heavenly wisdom. Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, this is very deep here, because we sing the song, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And it says, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up from the earth. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. And they sing that song. But he wasn't talking about lifting up his name. He was talking about him going to the cross. He being placed on the cross as a living sacrifice for mankind. You understand? That he would have to die so that we would live. So he had Moses lift up the serpent on the bronze pole. And when the people looked to the pole, when the Israelites looked to the pole, whatever sickness they were dealing with, they would be healed. Hallelujah. Some people were bitten by serpents and died. But some people was bitten by the serpents, and when they looked at the golden, the brass serpent on the brass pole, the connection, spiritual connection took place, and they were healed. You understand? But Jesus said, if he be lifted up, as Moses lifted the serpent, that people that believe in him, see, we believe on what happened at Calvary. We say that every day today. We believe that he was placed on the cross on Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, that he was nailed there, he was pierced there, he was crowned with thorns. And we know, we say that it wasn't the thorns, it wasn't the nails, it wasn't the piercing that kept him on the cross. He could have come down from the cross at any time. He could have called on his Father to send a legion of angels, 72,000 angels, and they would have fought against the Roman soldiers for him, against the Jewish priests and rabbis that accuse him. But it was the love that he had for the world. You and me. A lot of people say, but the love of the world, you know, to think about trees and houses and planes. No, that's not the world. We are the world. He died so that we could live. So here he says, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And the Bible then says, for this is how God loves the world. He gives his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I'm reading out the NLT. The King James said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John says that God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. People are going to still say things about you and about me and about us. But there is no judgment. Hallelujah. There is no judgment against us, against the people who believe in Christ Jesus. And this belief don't just mean just as pure, I believe in Christ Jesus, that's it. No, it's more than that. If you believe in him and live a life that pleases him, there's no judgment against you. Because remember, he says many will come in that day, the day of judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. Oh, I've been to church every Sunday. Every time the church door was open, Lord, I was there. Oh, what the pastor asked me to do, I did. But did you live for him? There's pastors, there's leaders, there's apostles, there's bishops, there's leaders, there's evangelists, teachers, prophetess and prophets that are going to burst hell gates wide open. You know why? Because they heard the word, but they didn't live the word. John, he said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that men, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his or her deeds should be reproved or examined. But he that doeth truth or love truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or made known, made clear, that they are wrought or done in God. This is the word of God, people. God wants us to fall so deeply in love with him. You hear me? So deeply in love with him that people begin to see him in us. When we fall deeply in love with him, people begin to see. Let's go to Matthew 23 in the King James Version. It's a lot of word here today. We can save a part two of this. Shortly I will stop. Matthew 23. And let us start at, verse 13. Let's start at verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, this is an indictment. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. See, he says that the priests shut up. In other words, they do not give the people the information they need to enter into the kingdom, the knowledge, the wisdom that they need to enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So they are perishing because of the lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. They are perishing. Glory to God. He said, you shut up the kingdom of heaven. They prevent others from entering the kingdom because of their false and burdensome teaching about the law. They're not teaching the truth. They're compromising the word. You understand? Instead of giving you the whole truth, they give you a half truth. Oh, as long as you come to church and you pay your tithes and give your offerings, you're all right. I mean, you only got one life to live. That's what they tell you. enjoy yourself. You know, you're a good man. You're a good woman. You come to church every Sunday. You're here on Bible study in midweek service. You come on Saturday morning service, our worship service. You are here. You're partaking Holy Communion. You're all right. And it's a lie. No. Verses 14. Now the indictment. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. They eat up everything, goes to the widow's house. They're having sexual intercourse with the widows. They're eating the food, drinking the wine. They're doing all these things. An exaggerated expression that highlights the destructive nature of the teaching of the scribes, teaching of the law, the Pharisees. Whoever swears by the temple refers is a trivial distinction about what makes an oath binding. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples, his followers, to avoid swearing oaths, making oaths. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Now he says, woe, verse 15 of Matthew chapter 23. Another indictment unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Do you hear what he says? They want the people to follow them. But the knowledge that they're giving the people are leading them to hell, making them bust hell wide open. Instead of giving you sound doctrine that makes sound people, cause you to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, to want to live right, to be holy before God, because you realize that without holiness, no man, boy or girl, child, dog, cat, going to see God without holiness. Hallelujah. You're not going to go back with him. You will be judged and be condemned to hell. Nobody can do you anything. Nobody can do us anything. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Why would I be afraid of dying? What I know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord if you live right. It's another indictment. He said, woe to you blind. Woe to you blind guys. Hallelujah. We say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, obligation. Do you hear? The people are binding the people, putting the people in bondage. The gold is more important to them than the house of the Lord. But Jesus is cleansing the house. This is what he's doing. He is keeping by the instructions that he gives us. Matthew 23. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gifts that is on it, he is guilty. Jesus speaking. You fools and blind, for where is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gifts? Also, whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it, and by all things thereon. You swear by the altar. You swear by the gift that's on the altar. Who's on the altar? The servant of God. Who's on the altar? The Spirit of God. But we don't see that. He says, you are guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear that by the altar, swear by it and by all the things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, swear by it and by him that dwelleth in it. You think about it. That sometimes we want to impress people. And we are swear by our own life. We are saved and sanctified. But you are swearing by the one that dwells in the temple. The greater one. The sovereign Lord. Jesus speaks clearly. He that shall swear by heaven, swear by God, by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, an indictment, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes and of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave others undone. You blind guys, which strain at his gnat and swallow his camel. See, we examine the force of small things. Little things we are looking at the same time, the greater is passing by. We are swallowing up the things that would take us to hell. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but wherein they are full of extortions and access. The blind Pharisee cleans first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. They're making outside. No, we dress up sometime. We got the shark skin suit on. We got alligator shoes on. Oh, we got crocodile shoes on. We dressed up. We make sure we go to the barber shop on Saturday evening and we get our hair. Those of you that have hair, mine, I don't have nothing. I just scrape off the little nugget that's come up. But we go make sure that we look presentable. We look the part on the outside. The inside is suffering. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwards, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. See, we got the outside looking so pretty. You go to the graveyard, and like Jesus used this analogy, and you got some of the tombs that people go by. Ever so often they go by and they clean up the grave, they clean up, make sure they pick up all the nut grass or rat grass that grow up, and they make sure that the grave is clean, and if they got the tomb that's above the ground, they go up then and they brush it with a steel brush to get all the moss off the tomb, and then they will put a primer on it, and then they'll put it in white paint. You know, they paint it white, wash the tomb, and it looks beautiful. And they put some roses or something on the top of the tomb. And they say it's beautiful. But there's bones, dead man bones on the inside. And that's the same way God sees us, that we clean, look clean on the outside, but our hearts are filthy. We are filthy on the inside. And Jesus wants to keep the house clean. He wants to be cleaning the house from the inside. This is the message today, keeping the house clean. How are we going to keep the house clean? I'm not talking about your home. We put a Bible on the dining room table. Got one on the coffee table. Got one in the bathroom. You got one in the bedroom. Wherever people go, you have a Bible in your household. So you're a holy man. You're a holy woman. Yes, they got Bibles everywhere, except in the heart. Except in the heart. Everything looks good on the outside, but what about the heart? Hallelujah. I didn't get this message till this morning. Keeping the house clean. Jesus wants to keep the house clean. All hearts. And David went to him. I read early. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. He asked God to wash him with hyssop, that he might be whiter than snow. And I explained what hyssop is, because we use it in the Caribbean. Hyssop is a cleaning herb, cleansing herb. Didn't matter what you had going on in your body. You put it on the stove with water in the pot and let it boil. And the water is clear, the bush is green. But once the water starts to get hot, it starts to draw all of that, all of the medicine that you need out of the bush, out of the leaves, in the stalk. And you strain it off and let it cool down and drink a cup of that thing two or three times a day. But every time you drink that, just a few minutes after you drink it, you got to run to the bathroom because it cleans you from the inside out. And this is what God wants with every one of us that calls ourselves a blood-bought, tongue-talking, fire-baptized Christian. He wants us to be cleansed from the inside, because the time is drawing near. We're drawing near. We can't wait till the morning that he pierced the sky with the angels come on down riding on the clouds to say we want to get clean. It's going to be too late. We got to be focused on keeping this house clean, going to God daily in repentance, daily. Not only on Sunday morning when the pastor says, everyone that need prayer, come to the altar. Man, you ought to be praying every day, seeking God's face. I was tired yesterday, because I had to go and do something and physical stuff. And then I thought I was oversleeping this morning, right on 11 o'clock. I tell you, right on 11 o'clock, the Holy Spirit said, get up. I said, man, I didn't have my watch turned on. My phone was right on the nightstand. I said, well, I may be too late. I said, if I'm too late, I'm not going to turn on the radio. Well, I tapped my phone, and the phone said 11 o'clock. I said, well, I'm in good time, because the program starts at 11:30, once I play the music. And the Holy Spirit woke me up at right on 11 o'clock. He did not let me oversleep, as tired as I was. But he allowed me to get that extra couple hours sleep so that my body could rejuvenate, you know. We have to be cleansed from the inside. No matter how beautiful your dress is, how beautiful the hairdresser did your hair, how the barber cut your hair, trim your hair. Man, inside has to be clean. You can go up on the altar with all jean pants if you want to, but your heart must be clean. He said that they're like whitewashed tombs, sepulcher. He said that, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitewashed sepulchres or tombs. Indeed, appears beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Something to think about. The Lord told me this. He said, I'm the one that cleans the house. He the one that cleans the spiritual house. And I noticed, I went back and look at David in Psalm 51, verse 7 and verse 10. And I looked over there. And I see that as close as David was to God, even though he made a lot of mistakes, as close he was to God, he went to God. He consulted God for cleanliness, to be made whole. He said to God, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me. David knew God had the power, the authority. He's the only one that could clean the house, this spiritual house that we carry. pastor can't wear the same suit. Every week, a different room. Can't preach in the same room 2 weeks in a row. Every week, we got to change. I had a preacher, bishop here. Don't like to pay bills. Lost a lot of buildings. Lost a lot of buildings because they don't like to pay bills. Every time you look around, he in New York. Go catch the train, subway. And sometimes he would drive. He'd have a group of deacons and stuff. Minister would go with him. And they go to New York shopping. Every month he go to New York shopping. And you see him. He never wear the same robe on a Sunday. Four Sundays or five Sundays in a month sometime, he wear five different robes. And the robes he wear last month, he not going to wear this month. And if he switched down to suits, he never wear the same suit. Every Sunday, a different suit. Yet to find out the scripture here speaks clearly about him. Because he looked good, sharp dresser. I tell you, Apostle, he's dressed sharp. Sharp dresser. The watches, the rings, he got different watches. A lot of watches. Change watches to the clothes. And all this stuff. But yet to find out the very bishop is an homosexual. His armor bearer is a homosexual. And it's still in the church. And won't allow God to clean him. God can clean the homosexual, a lesbian, a gambler, a dope user, a fornicator, an adulterer, a prostitute. God can do it. A liar, a gossiper. He can do all this. He can clean the house. But we got to take the house to him. And we got to invite him to come in the house. Guess what? He's standing outside the door, even with that bishop that preached so awesome. Man can preach up a song, but wouldn't allow God in his heart. He got sick and gave the sickness to his wife. He was a young woman. And she crossed over out of this world with something that she didn't call for herself. Doctors couldn't heal. Whatever he draw back from some other man, he put in his wife, and she died. I'm just telling you. Jesus said here to us, these people that know the Bible, notice the Pentateuch. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitewashed sepulchre tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and are all uncleanness. And of all uncleanness. He said, even so you also outwardly appeared righteous unto men. But within you are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. Full of hypocrisy. You look good on the outside, but instead, you're full of sin. What's on the inside don't line up with what you're showing on the outside. Keeping the house clean is the message. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourself, Jesus said, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measures of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers. Can you imagine ever getting on the altar and preaching to people this sound doctrine here that Jesus preaching? The way he preaching, they would stone you. They would stone us. You get up there and call them snakes, dogs, And you tell them they're like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside. You went to the hairdresser, the barbershop. You look good. Oh, you're dressed from head to toe. You look fine. But inside you are filthy. They will put you to church. You wouldn't get no other check. How can you escape the damnation of hell? The preacher says, he said, I preached for 40-some years. He said, I led many people to Christ Jesus. He said, but I never went to him for myself. That thing cut me down to the core of my heart. Ask God to search my own heart. Search me out, Lord. Things that are not lining up, God, ask you to line them up. Why? Because I know that everything is not lined up. To thy own self be true. Don't profess that you all this a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. To thine own self be true. Take it to before the cross. Take it at the foot of the cross and let Jesus drip blood, the blood that never lost its first estate. Let the blood drop on you, drop on us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says he is faithful and just if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us, not from some, but from all unrighteousness. He said, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias and Barachas, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. He said, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. How much time did Jesus call in people? He sent out the clarion call to the Jews, but they wouldn't come to him. He went to his own city, and they wouldn't receive him. They didn't believe what he was saying. They rejected him. He could do no mighty works. In my neighborhood, there's people that know who I am, and they hear me. But there's other people that they know who I am, but they wouldn't hear me. They rejected. Hallelujah. Then in your neighborhood, the same thing. There's folks that are going to receive you, and some are going to reject you. Just right up. They don't want to hear it. But the time is coming, and it's coming fast. We just had a mass murder just a couple cities over in that state, in Maine, city of Maine. 31 people shot, 18 dead. Just happened last night. Do you understand? This thing is everywhere. Satan is raging because his time is drawing near and more overlived. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, empty, worthless. Your house. But I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is the he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What are you saying today? What is your cry today for God? Are you crying unto God that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? How faithful are you? Are you willing to give all to him? Because we don't own anything. But we're still trying to hold on to it. We think we're going to live forever. in this realm. No, you're not going to live forever in this realm. You have to leave this realm because this realm is unclean. Do you understand what I'm saying? This realm is unclean. We got to get out of this realm. But you have things that we have things that we need to do here while we are in this realm. We are supposed to share Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and soon coming King. We got to share that people must repent and be born again. They must be born of the water and of the Spirit. They must be born. Hallelujah. Peter said that they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They need to be born of the water and of the Spirit. They tell them, oh, well, prosperity. Oh, God wants you to be blessed. God, you're highly favored. God wants you to be blessed, sister, brother. God wants you to have all these things. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can he give in exchange for his soul? We get a house, you need two. You get two houses, you want three. You got two car garage, you want three. You want four. You're not satisfied. But you're not working on your spirit man. And the spirit man is drowning in sin. And hell is enlarging his mouth. The preacher on the altar saying, he said, I have led thousands of people over the last 40-some years. I've been preaching, I lead thousands of people to Christ Jesus. But I never went to him, neither did I. How about invite him to come in me? Rapture is taking place and people leaving the church. The pastor's still standing on the altar preaching. You've never seen that preacher. You've never seen that picture or heard it. Go back and listen to it or see it. It will bless you. Because it will convict us and make us examine our own hearts and see where we are coming up short. Because all of us come up short. The Bible said so. All of us come up short. Sometimes you get angry at what you hear. And sometimes you get angry at what you see. You don't even repent for it. You go to sleep with that same stuff in your spirit, in your house. It's in your spiritual house. You get angry because somebody said something, did something. Don't even repent about it. You go to sleep with it. Some folks say, I'm going to heaven. Hey, folks say all the time, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says. But I tell you, I want to go. I'm telling you, I want to go. And because I want to go, I know that I have to live a certain way. According to the instructions that he gave me, I got to live that way. And if for some reason I fall short and deviate from the path for 1 second, I got to go back to him and I got to repent and ask him to keep me on that straight and narrow path. Why? Because I'm subject to fall off that white line from time to time. From time to time, I veer in, I'm driving down the highway, and my car is lining is good, and it keeps straight. But from time to time, I find myself going over to the right or going to the left. That's in the natural. And in the spirit, we do the same thing. Oh, you preach well, you teach well, you're awesome preacher, you're awesome Bible preacher. But that flesh, you don't have to go. You don't even have to leave your house. In your house, in your home, you're listening to the radio, watching TV, and something happened on the screen to bring up such vile thoughts in your mind. In our minds, some vile thoughts come up in our mind, and we just want to crucify somebody. We want to hurt somebody. And we don't even ask God to forgive us. We go to sleep, the sun go down on our wrath. Jesus says, sin. Get angry, but sin not. Not sin, forgive me. Jesus said, get angry, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You get angry, quick, man, I'm telling you. Ask God to forgive you, because the flesh going to stir. Turn up his head sometime. Ask God to forgive you. All of our preachers, man, I'm telling you. Don't let your anger take you to hell. The world is going so crazy right now, and it's going to make you get mad. The people want to kill us because of who we are. But you got to understand that you're going to die. Don't be afraid. Continue to preach the truth. The truth is what's going to make people free. The truth. When they get to know it. Because the Bible said, know the truth and the truth will make you free. The truth alone don't make you free. You got to get to know it. It got to get into our hearts. The truth got to get into our hearts to convict us. The truth is like a sharp knife. It cuts you on the inside and it heals you at the same time. Two times, it cuts you going, it cuts you coming. It's a double-edged sword. That's what the truth does. It cuts us on the inside and it heals us at the same time. But you got to know it. You got to hear it. He said, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm hearing the word of God right now because I'm speaking it and it's coming out of me and I'm hearing it at the same time. And it's healing me because it's telling me that the thing that I just said, that Jesus just said to me from the manuscript, I can't indulge in. I'll be just like these Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites. I'll be a whitewashed tomb, sounding good, looking good, but corrupt on the inside. A lot of scriptures to you, but I'm not going to give you today. When I come back again, maybe Saturday morning, I'll go into part two of this. The Lord says do it this way. So I'll do it the way he said do it. Matthew 27. It says, when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock. This is Matthew 27, verse 59 and 60. He rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. I want you to see that what Joseph of Arimathea did, I just pronounced the word a little fast, but he went and asked for Jesus' body. Jesus is dead on the cross, and I feel that this man, Joseph of Arimathea, I didn't pronounce his word, he was a big man, strong man, because the Bible says he took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth. This body of Christ is a holy body. It had no sin. Everything that connected to Christ Jesus was clean. He said here, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Joseph was satisfied. Then he put Jesus in that tomb. But the stone that was before the tomb could not keep him in the tomb, because he must rise again. Jesus is clean, pure, holy. He must rise again for you and I to hear, to know. I was alive back then. But no, I know, because the Bible tells me so. This, my manuscript tells me that he no longer in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He was dead, but yes, still he was clean. And he was wrapped in clean linen cloth. He was placed in a clean new tomb, a tomb that no one has ever been buried in before. And he came out of that tomb. So that you and I know that we have to be clean. We have to be considered righteous in his name. We have to follow the manuscript to the T, to the letter. We cannot pick and choose what we want out the manuscript. A lot of times what folk pick out the manuscript is prosperity, everything about prosperity. Or they'll pick out some scriptures for healing. But they don't pick out the scriptures that clearly says that we have to live a certain way. They don't pick out the scriptures that define the type of holy person that we must become. Don't pick those scriptures out. That's why I teach a lot of the Old Testament. I teach old and new a lot. I go back and forth. But you need to get this thing so that we can live and be who God called us to be, so that the angels begin to rejoice. They will leave heaven and come to earth on our behalf, according to Psalm 91. according to Daniel chapter 10. They will leave heaven and come to earth on our behalf. Because we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to him. How you know that you belong to him? When you live. If your children are living unseemly, you know the first you said, man, he don't even act like she's my child. He don't act like he's my son. But thank God for Jesus that Jesus don't say that about us. Even when we are acting a fool. He said, all souls are mine. All. That means all children, all people are his. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. Now, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because we all going to die at some time. We will leave this earth before he returns. Majority of us. Even though he can come the next hour. But I believe he's long-suffering. He's waiting for others to come in from the darkness. But all souls belongs to him. You got to make sure that you don't want to sin the sin that your soul will die. That you will die and be a candidate for the lake of fire and brimstone. Because folk just think that the lake of fire and brimstone, they're going to have a cabaret down there at Al Green and Percy Sledge and Otis Redding going to be making music that they can say, well, I just go into the party and then I'm going to go home. No, once you get to that place, there's no exit. There's only one way in. There's no exit. There's no exit from the lake of fire and brimstone. There's no exit from hell. There's only one way in. That's why we have to go to Christ and we have to repent and we got to ask him to forgive us. We got to ask him to set us free. And then we got to ask him to help us to live this life. Help us to walk in that straight and narrow path. Shine your light on my path, Lord. I don't want to stumble. Help me to live the life that glorifies you, Lord. See, the life that glorifies God is hard. It's difficult. It's hard to live. I'm telling the truth. But it's attainable with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will help us to live this life that glorifies God, that honors God. We can't do it on our own. That's what we need. He said, when you repent and be baptized in Jesus, he said, you receive the you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you need him to help you to live. Don't shut him out. A lot of times we shut him out because we want to do what we want to do to get what we don't really need. We shut him out, saying, "No, I'm not going to listen to the Holy Ghost today because I just want to go down there and have sex with Sister Mary today. I want to go down and have sex with Brother John. He been checking me out in the church. I want to enjoy her." But the God says, I want to enjoy him. So we shut out the voice of the Holy Ghost that's telling us we don't need to, we shouldn't get involved in this. He's only going to give you the instructions. You got to follow. God is not going to put special shackles on your foot to make you them going down from Sister Mary's house. He's not going to put handcuffs on you to stop you from driving your car to Brother John's house. Listen to me. He's not going to stop you from catching a train or plane or something and going to some woman or man's house. All he can do is give you the instructions. You're going to hear it in your heart. He's not going to tell you, don't put that cocaine pipe in your mouth. Don't put that syringe, that needle in your arm. He's not going to tell you that. He's not going to tell you, stop you from going to the ABC liquor store and stop you from buying liquor. He's just going to tell you, don't do it. He give you the instructions what to do and what not to do. You make a choice. You have to make the choice. He calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You had to make a choice. Are you going to come out or stay in? I tell you all the time, he came in the crack house and drew me out. He drew me out. He laid me out of the crack house. And then he told me I would not be able to get high again. He didn't tell me that I wouldn't smoke anymore. He said, I won't be able to get high anymore. I still try to smoke. But all the best drugs I had couldn't get me high because he told me I wouldn't be able to get high. He had already taken away the craving from me. God prayed for it. And they took it away from me. But I still tried to get high. Couldn't get high. I had to give it up. See, you got the choice. You got a choice to make. Do you want to still keep on sinning? Or are you going to allow God to clean the house? Are you going to allow him to clean your heart? Are you going to allow him to clean your mind? Because everything starts in your mind. That's why it says, cast on all thoughts and imagination. It begins in our minds, where the enemy is coming and driving all this stuff in our head. And we get so much discombobulation that we are blobulated, that we are weak. Start following the thoughts that the devil is putting in instead of casting them down. No, this is not of God. This don't belong to me. You got to talk to yourself sometime. You're your best hearer. It says faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. You're your best hearer. Talk to yourself. No, this thing belongs to me. That didn't come from God. So I'm not going to receive that. I don't care what the devil is saying. I'm not going to receive that. So devil, go on. Ah, you come to my house. No, you at the wrong house. You got the wrong house. Hallelujah. You're trying to deliver a mail that don't belong to me. Go on somewhere. You got to tell the devil. You got to talk to him. Talk to him loud and clear. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Thank you, O God, for blessing us today to hear from heaven today. As always, O God, you are omnipotent, you're omnipresent, you're omniscient, O God. You're all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-hearing, God. You're the one that healeth us. You're the one that delivers us. You're the one that restores us, Lord, the one that blesses us with everything that we need pertaining to life and holy life. God, we thank you today. Thank you for Bishop. We thank you, oh God, for Apostle Stewart. We thank you for Apostle Linda Washington. Thank you for Minister Jones. We thank you for Apostle Millie Jefferson. We thank you, oh God, for Minister Jones and the Prophetess Kershey, oh God. Thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser. Thank you for Pastor Joyce Stewart, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for their ministry. Thank you for the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. God, we thank you, God, because we see the things that you show us, oh God. And God, we thank you for those that even came closer and closer to even touch the hem of your garment in the service, oh God. God, you have drawn people closer to you. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, oh God. Merciful Father, we ask you today to bless these airways as the word has gone forth from my spirit, oh God, by your spirit, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you heal, deliver, and restore, God. Lord, as we pray for Israel and Jerusalem and Syria and Egypt and oh God, and Palestine, and we pray for, oh God, Lebanon, and we pray for Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, oh God. We pray, Lord God, this morning. We ask you, oh God, to move by your spirit. Touch Hezbollah, and touch, oh God, Hamas, oh God. You are powerful, God, mighty God. Oh God, you are awesome, oh God. Your God, you're awesome in your power. You're awesome in your majesty. Yes, Lord, you are the sovereign God, the mighty holy God. Lord, we ask you now, right now, God, to begin, oh God, to stir up the earth realm with your glory. Oh, mighty God, we ask you, oh God, to touch those that all they hear is the voice of the enemy. But today, Lord, I ask you to shut their ear gates from the voice of the enemy, that even as the enemy make loud noise, that they will not hear the enemy. God, they will hear your voice. We ask you to touch the heart of the wicked right now. Touch the heart of the wicked and change their heart, because you said in your word that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it wherever you choose to, Lord. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you begin to bring deliverance, restoration in the United States of America. Touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, oh God. Thank you for allowing them to get a speaker, oh God. Lord, touch the House of Representatives, oh God. Touch the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we ask you, God, to revamp the police department. Oh God, the fire department. Oh God, go into the hospital corridors of the hospital and touch the judges. Touch, oh God, touch the doctors, oh God. Excuse me, Lord. Touch the doctors and touch the nurses, oh God. But Lord, I believe you want me to say touch the local judges and magistrates, oh God, in all nations. And Father, touch the drug dealer. Touch the prostitute, oh God. Touch the homosexual, the lesbian, the prostitutes. Oh my God, touch the fathers and mothers that are abusing their children and the children that are abusing their parents. Father, we pray today for the teachers and the children, oh God. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you remove the pedophiles and remove, oh God, the transvestites out of the schools, oh God. They're teaching the children how to believe in sin, Father. Same Father and same Father. oh God, father and father. Lord, got two men that say they're husband and wife. No, it cannot be. Two women that say they're husband and wife cannot be. Father, we ask you to convict them and remove that spirit out of our schools, out of our nation, oh God, out of society, Lord God. Even if you said you're not going to flood the earth again, but you will use fire. We ask you, God, let the fire of God come and consume us. Consume the evil in our hearts, oh God, that we might be purified, oh God, like fine gold. Oh, almighty God, we pray today, Lord God, for the one that don't know Jesus, oh God. Come on, if you don't know him, I want you to pray this prayer with me. We already did the prayer, all the scriptures in the sermon, but we want you to pray this prayer with us. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And God, I heard the word today. Lord, I'm convicted, oh God, that there's a gulf between me and you. It's been hindering me from coming close to you, God. But today, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, Lord. And Lord, I recognize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh God, I'm confessing with my mouth that which I believe in my heart. Heart right now, oh God, that God, you raised Jesus from the dead, oh God, for with the heart I believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever believe in Jesus shall not be ashamed. Father, I thank you. If you don't know Jesus, ask Jesus to come in. Ask him, say, Jesus, I welcome you now. Lord, I denounce Satan and all of his agents, and I welcome you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Into my heart right now and take up residence, oh God. Take control of my heart. Lead me, oh God. Continue to lead me into all righteousness. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. And I believe that you rose again, oh God, on the third day. That Father God raised you up out of that tomb, oh God. And I thank you now. I thank you for drawing me out of darkness, even on this day, Lord Jesus. And I hear your voice calling me out of darkness of sin to enter the light of righteousness. I now accept you. I accept you. I invite you in my heart right now. And I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming. Jesus, is no one like you. Wash me in the blood. Cleanse me. Wash me with righteous water. Wash my soul. Oh, God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Jesus. Let me just not be a talker, but let me be a doer. Oh, God, let me be a doer of your word. I want to be close to you, Jesus. Allow me to touch the hem of your garment like the woman with the issue of blood. Father, I will come back and I will give you glory like the leper that returned. There's nine other lepers, they went their way, but one came back and gave you glory. Let me be that one that came back. I want to be that one that come back and give you glory. For you have delivered me from all unrighteousness. You have set my heart at liberty, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me today. For drawing me into the flock of believers. For filling me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, if you said that prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what he is saying, what the word is saying to you. Then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you need to be baptized in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. Tell them that you recognize there's no other name, even among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. You cannot have salvation no other way. And salvation just means that you're being redeemed. You're being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That you are being filled with a new spirit. Because when you receive salvation according to Acts 2:38, you receive a new spirit on the inside to live. To live with Jesus Christ. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Call up a pastor and preacher that know how to baptize in
tell them you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers to come. Even your enemies, you want them to come. This is the greatest time of your life where you are telling the world and allowing the world to see that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. You want witnesses. And you go down that water, we call it a liquid grave, you are dying with Christ. As though you were on the cross that day. You are dying with him. And leaving everything that held you captive in that water, in that grave. But when you come up in righteousness of who he said you are in Christ Jesus. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Be a participator and not a spectator. Do something in the house of the Lord so that you can glorify God with your actions. I bless the Lord for all you all that came on today, for all you all. Brother Mark, I thank God for you, was on here yesterday. I saw you on there. We thank God for you. And we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord for what he's doing in your life. The Lord is doing a great work. Give him the chance. Give him the opportunity to clean your house from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Give him the opportunity. Because God cannot do the work in us until we give him the opportunity to do it. He's a loving God. You know, Satan forced me. And I can talk about me. Satan used to force me to go to the crack house. Because I said I wouldn't go. I didn't have no money. But no sooner as I get money, I could hear the voice speaking on the inside of me. It was Satan, it wasn't God. And he would tell me, man, go on down there. John has this. He knew every crack dealer. He'd tell me in the war, he said, go on down. John has this. Peter has this. Arnold has this. All these names he would call out. And I would just say, man, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. But eventually, my truck would be going. I said, the truck lead me there. The truck that lead me. I went there to get high. But the moment that I allowed Christ to just lead me, my life changed. See, I got to allow him to do it. I got to invite him, and then I got to allow him to do it. Because they said, well, I want God. But they wouldn't allow God to do what only God can do. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But I wouldn't allow God to lead me and guide me into truth. And he want to. He want to. But I have to surrender my life to him. I thank God for you all that came on today and hear this word. I don't know if a shepherd is, if a prophet is going to come in tomorrow. If she don't, I'll do part two tomorrow. If not, I'll do part two on Saturday morning. Because I have a lot on this, talking about keeping the house clean. Keeping the house clean. You know, we don't hear these kind of messages in the house, in the church building. Keeping the house clean. How to stay holy. How to stay righteous before God. It's a job. It's not easy. You hear me say that in the message? It's not easy, but it's attainable. You can do it. If you allow the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you, you can do it. It's a, I can't do this, man. This is too hard. God is asking too much of me, no? I can't do it. I truly can't do it, but I know who can. So I let him come and take the wheel. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, don't want to be a co-pilot of your life or my life. He wants to be the pilot of our lives. But a lot of times we don't want to let him be the pilot. We say, oh, yeah, God is the pilot of my life, but I'm still driving. God bless you all. The line is open. Anyone want to respond? You have a free will to come on and respond. The line is open. I am finished. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. As always, you always give us what we need, not what we want, but you give us what we need. Exactly. We thank you for this word that you bless us with today and bless all those that came on today. Thank you for the prophet, the apostles, ministers. Thank you for Brother Mark that came on. We pray that you continue to complete the work that you begun in him. Thank you for Deacon Fraser. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, for Prophetess Kersey and for Minister Jones. He's going back to work. We just thank God for you all. Now, Father, as we leave this line this morning, this afternoon, but never your presence, we ask you to continue to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, oh God, and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above, Lord Jesus, and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. We pray, Father God, as we leave this line, God, that you will go before us, oh God, that you will lead us into all truth, oh God. That as we go forth, Father God, that all actions, all motives, everything that we say and do, we'll bring glory to your awesome, mighty name. And we thank you, Father God, for blessing, oh God, for blessing the ministry that you have given us all to watch over us. God, that's all we are, Lord. We are watchmen, and we are endeavoring to go on and continue to do what you call us to do. In the mighty, awesome name of Jesus, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rule and abide in us. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We'll see you all on tomorrow. If you have time to come and fellowship with us. If not, we'll still be here putting the word on here. God bless. Bye-bye.